Live and local, this is a Juno Afternoon. It's Wednesday, July 19th. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. On today's show, Jordan Nigro will be here with an update on activities at the Zach Gordon Youth Center. We'll get a preview of this weekend's Poetry Slam at Gonzo's. And Marjorie Menzies and Rosemary Hagevig will be here with details about next month's PEO's Whale Watch Cruise. Those interviews, National Native News, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, music, and more right here on a Juno Afternoon. And looking at weather for the rest of today, chance of rain, highs in the mid-60s. National Native News is next.
This is National Native News. I'm Hannah Colton, in for Antonia Gonzalez. The state of Alaska this month approved exploration on a copper mine prospect near the controversial proposed Pebble Mine. The permit allows 13 holes to be drilled near the village of Nundalton in what's known as the Groundhog Prospect. Nundalton Tribal Council President Will Evenoff says the council has spent years fighting mine projects that could jeopardize salmon spawning areas in Bristol Bay, as well as other subsistence activities like hunting and berry picking.
I'm not against jobs and I'm not against mining. I'm just against, you know, where it's at. You know, what's back there should be left alone. It should be left in its natural environment. Nothing can ever replace what's back there.
But not everyone from Nundalton is opposed to the Groundhog Project. The mining company is owned in part by Kijik Corporation, Nundalton's native village corporation. And Evenoff says that's made the issue a little too personal.
You know, I've had people that have called me up and wants the tribe to partner with them in a lawsuit. And that's something that this tribe and this council is not ready to pursue yet, you know, given the fact that, you know, a lot of people on my council are directly related to people that sit on KG Corporation's board of directors, you know, and we'll be suing our own relatives, you know. That's not something we want to do right now.
Kijik Corporation CEO Ventura Samaniego has said he wants to come to an understanding with the tribe. He declined a request to interview for this story. Exploration of the Groundhog Prospect, which is smaller than the nearby Pebble Mine site, gained momentum this spring when Canadian mine company Quaterra announced its investment. According to a permit issued this month, drilling of test holes at Groundhog could start as soon as this summer and continue for the next 5 years. Renowned Native American flute player and singer Fernando Solision will be honored this week with New Mexico's Top Music Award. A member of the Zuni Pueblo, Solision has performed his unique style of traditional flute all over the world. He's known as a leader in the New Mexico Native American music genre and also directs the professional touring group, the Solision Zuni Dancers. Solision is one of six artists to be presented with a Lifetime Achievement Award this Friday in Santa Fe. A Lakota elder completed a 30-year journey when she graduated from Oglala Lakota College last month. As Jim Kent reports, neither her diabetes nor regular dialysis treatment could deter the woman's pursuit of her bachelor's degree.
Leola Bear Runner began the road toward her degree in Lakota Studies in the 1980s. She was a school nurse on the Pine Ridge Reservation and realized how many students didn't know their language or their culture. And that made her think about her own lack of knowledge.
I grew up without learning those things. I grew up away from the reservation where I didn't learn or know anything like that. All of a sudden, that hunger came within me after my children were born, and I wanted to learn, so I started.
Bear Runner completed Lakota language classes 1 through 4, then moved on to instruction about her culture. Her long road ended last month at Oglala Lakota College's 44th graduation ceremony. College spokesperson Monica Spider says Bear Runner is an excellent role model for other students.
I think that one of the difficulties that our people here have in attaining their education is losing hope. But she sets an example that our students can draw from. I've seen the results of her efforts already with other students who've remarked on it. You know, seeing that if this Unchi can do it, you know, she can keep coming back, then maybe they can too.
Bear Runner hopes to take more classes in Lakota Studies. She'd also like to get a part-time position teaching her Lakota language to young children. For National Native News, I'm Jim Kent.
And I'm Hannah Colton.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation. with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
And by Humboldt State University, we know what it means to be rooted in community. You can get your Master's of Social Work and amplify your voice without having to leave it. The part-time online program accepts applications between August 1st and 31st. More at humboldt.edu/socialwork.
Yate, the Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce Convention and Tourism Department welcomes the Navajo Nation Head Start School Readiness Conference, August 21st through the 24th. Information on this event and services at siabq.org. Huck on it.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
You're tuned into a Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and here with me is my first guest, Jordan Nigro, manager of the Zach Gordon Youth Center. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Shelley.
You're welcome. And she's here with her little dog, too.
Rosie's here.
And being very good. So once a month-ish, you come in and update us on activities at the Youth Center.
Yeah.
And a lot's happened since the last time you were here. So I was stalking your Facebook page, and I have a good list of things to ask you
awesome.
About today.
Great.
First things first, I ran into the kids at Cote Park, the Youth and Employment, or the YEP crew.
Yeah, Youth Employment and Parks.
Youth yeah. Employment and Parks, yeah. yeah. How's that going?
It's going great. I was actually just out with them yesterday. They're now, they did a bunch of work at Cote Park, and they've done a bunch of work out at the Arboretum, and right now they're working on the Rainforest Trail, which is probably one of the more labor-intensive jobs that they've done. They were all quite tuckered out when I went out to see them yesterday. But so they're taking gravel and bringing it down and dumping it and, you know, just making the trail more secure and stable. And yeah, so those guys are doing a great job. It's so fun. And they're having a great time. It's a great crew. It's a really neat partnership between the State of Alaska Division of Oak Rehab and Southeast Alaska Independent Living and the city. And so.
And does Trail Mix get in on that at all?
Trail Mix is not involved. Although, you know, think between Trail Mix and what we do, like it's a great way to support keeping the trails all up and nice in Juneau because we all love them. We are big trail users in Juneau. So, yeah, if you're listening and you see a bunch of kids in blue shirts out there working on the trails, you can't miss them. Feel free to tell them thank you. It's very fun when the kids get people from the community thanking them for their work. They really enjoy it, and I think it helps connect them to why they're doing what they're doing. So yeah, it's really fun.
How are they holding up?
Well, yesterday I was the most tired I've seen them, but they're doing great. You know, they're getting stronger. You know, the more they do it, the stronger they get. So yeah, I think they're doing fine. But they were a tuckered out crew yesterday. Although I will say, as tuckered out as they were still working and doing a great job. So yeah,
good, good. So if anybody's listening and they have a kid with too much energy, is it too late to sign them up?
It is too late, okay, but you know, next year. Yep.
And so you guys have a lot of stuff coming up next. I saw that some weaving classes with Lily Hope, it already happened, but you said there's more to come.
Yeah, there's more coming. So we did through a partnership with Sea Alaska Heritage Institute and Klinka and Haida's Navigators Program. Lily came and offered some weaving classes for free at the center, and that was great. They were really a hit, and they filled up immediately. And then now we are just about to embark on another partnership with Juneau Arts and Culture Center, and so we are doing more classes at the center, which will be, I guess I should say, the Juneau Arts and Humanities Center, right? And the Jack is the building. I always do that, but anyway.
It's okay. I'm glad that you're clarifying that.
Juneau Arts and Humanities is helping us to put this together. So Lily is going to offer another set of weaving classes, and then Julie York Coppins is going to offer some theater classes. So those will also be free. And the signups for those are still going on. And I did check the sheets right before I came over, and we still have some spaces. So if you're interested, Julie's classes are July 31st through August 4th that week. And they're from 2 to 4 p.m. for ages 9 to 13 and from 6:30 to 8:30 for ages 14 through 18. And each class will be creating a play of its own. So they, you know, you can, if you can't make it to all the classes, you can just come to a couple. Each class will explore new approach to playmaking, from group improv and adaptation to graphic novel style storyboarding. They'll share each other's work, and they'll perform their little masterpieces. So we're
and then on to Broadway.
Yes, so we're very excited for that. It's great to have Julie helping us out, and then later. From August 7th to the 11th, Lily Hope is teaching another weaving class. So that will be from 1 to 4:30, ages 9 through 18. So it'll be every day. And it really is, like, if you want your child to complete a project, you want them to come to the whole thing. So the description for that is, learn to weave an authentic raven's tail pouch perfectly sized for an iPhone, cash stash, or other personal essentials. We'll start with a traditional treasure box pattern, then graph new patterns based on ancient geometrics or students' own original designs. So that's super cool. Oh, and I will say the last group that participated, I mean, they made the most beautiful artwork. Lily is just so incredibly talented, and this really is a great opportunity for your kids to learn from a master. For, free. So
I was going to ask, it's free.
They're both
materials
free.
Are included.
The materials are included.
To
sign up, you just need to call us at 586-2635. Space is limited. Each class is limited to 12 participants. So we have about, I think there's 6 spots left in each class. So, yeah. And for the teenagers, for Julie's teen class, we actually have quite a few spots left in that. So if you know a teen that's into theater, this is a great opportunity to get them some extra extra coaching and be exposed to a really great talent. So, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Those all sounds amazing. The work on the trail,
super
the
fun.
Theater classes, the weaving classes.
We've got lots going on.
Yeah. Well, what else? School's coming up now. School's starting soon, but that's not the end of the activities.
I know. It's hard
center.
To believe that school is starting soon. August is around the corner, and school starts kind of early this year. It feels that way to me. So we are also in the process of recruiting for BAM volunteers. That's going to start up. So BAM is our after-school program, and it's in both the middle schools. It stands for Body and Mind, and we do all sorts of different activities with kids depending on, what the volunteers' interest is. We do a lot of cooking activities. Middle schoolers love to cook. But we also do arts, and we do outdoor stuff. Discovery Southeast is one of our partners. So we do lots of different stuff. And if you're listening and you're like, oh, I'd love to teach some kids to, do some activity that you really enjoy, be it baking or hiking or whatever, we can work with you and help you to craft an activity that is going to be popular for the kids and get kids in. I always try to do one every year at least. So this last year I did Italian cooking with the kids, and that was super fun. And the year before that I did a mixed media sort of arts, like collage-y thing, which was super fun. Messy, but really fun. Middle schoolers are not afraid to get messy, so that's great. If you're interested in that, you can also give us a call and we'll connect you with the BAM coordinator. And it happens after school every day, Monday through Thursday. So
is it on site at the middle schools?
It's at the middle schools. Yeah. And it's from 3:05 about to 4:30. So the kids can catch activity buses home. So, as far as the schedule goes, like if you're listening and you're thinking, oh, well, I'd like to do that. We can work with you to figure out what schedule works for you. So you could do every Wednesday for 6 weeks, or some people just prefer to do 2 weeks of classes 3 days a week, or 1 week of classes and do just 4 straight days. It's really up to you, and our staff will work with you to figure out what works for you.
Every time you come in here, I'm just blown away by all the offerings that the Youth Center is able to provide.
We have a lot of
stuff
happening.
The community. I hope that I'm sure a lot of people are taking advantage of it, but I hope there's some people listening who may be getting some ideas or inspiration.
Yeah, and if you're if you're listening and it has been a bit of a rainy summer, maybe some
what
of us have
about?
Noticed that. It's not raining today, which is real nice. But we have had, kids coming in and using the climbing wall or playing basketball. We have a huge outdoor covered basketball area. So, sometimes we need some indoor activities in the summer, and we have a good mix of both at the center. So we open at 11 o'clock And kids, you know, are welcome to just come down and hang out and play pool, play ping pong, use the climbing wall. There's all sorts of stuff. We have, they were doing a bunch of art projects on the big table when I left just now. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. You guys aren't too far away. No. I always walk past it every day, too, on my way to work.
It's a nice little trot over here.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm glad you didn't get rained on this time. Anything else you'd like to touch on? Either something that happened last month or something that's coming up in the next few weeks?
Let me think. I think those are the main things. You know, I think we're always, our doors are open and feel free to pop in. And if you haven't been to the youth center in a long time, sometimes people will come in and just be like, oh, I just wanted to check out what it was like in here. So feel free to come by if you're wondering, you know, what we do and what it's like in there. We, you know, we're the community's youth center. So our doors are open. Come see us.
I'm glad. Thank you for keeping those doors open.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
One last question. I find a lot of info on your Facebook page. Is that the best place?
That is a really great. Yes. Okay. Thank you for mentioning that. Yeah, Facebook is a great place. If you're wondering what's up with us, follow us on Facebook. We post all sorts of stuff there. And if we have events or classes, that's usually our go-to spot for spreading the word.
And we can call you as well.
And you can call us 586-2635.
Okay. Got that written down. All right. Well, thanks very much, Jordan. I always like hearing your updates.
Thank you, Shelley.
Yep. See you around.
It's almost time for the Haines Sheldon Museum's fourth annual Totem Trot Half Marathon and 5K Walk and Run on Saturday, August 12th in Haines. Get your friends to sponsor you to earn complimentary registration for either event. Sign up today for this exciting run around Haines in support of the museum. Registration, start times, and course information available at totemtrot.com.
It is 22 minutes after the hour. You're tuned into a Juno Afternoon. My next guest is Bill Merck, here to tell us all about this weekend's Poetry Slam, and it is a real honor to have you here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. And are you a poet?
I think so, yeah. I do write poetry.
Wonderful. Well, that's good to know. And you're also connected to this event, nonprofit, that's
right,
sponsoring
the
slam, or that's
organizing
the slam.
I'm a Wushkinadei board member, yeah.
Can you say the name again?
Wushkinadei.
Wushkinadei. Thank you.
It's a Tlingit. It means parallel trails or parallel paths.
Great. Could you give us a little background about Wushkinadei?
Very good.
Thank
Excellent.
You.
Well, we started in 2010. It was an organization put together by Kristi Nami Eriksson, who I'm sure you know.
Of course.
Who in the community doesn't, right? Right. And a friend of hers, Nahan, who has since moved down to the Seattle area. We're trying to provide a safe, trying to empower public voice, basically, a safe, supportive opportunity for people to come forward and share their work. So we started in 2010 as the Juno Poetry Slam and soon came up with a little more relevant name, I think, something a little more reflective of what we're trying to do. So we've been doing this for about 7 years now, so putting on an event every month.
That's great, going strong. But this is the first one in a while. You've sort of been on a little bit of a break.
This is the first. It's a slam that we're putting on this Friday at Gonzo's. The last slam we put on was in March. We have a calendar of events where we rotate between slams, open mics, and writing workshops. Last month, we also had a summer showcase, which is our major fundraiser for the year. We had that upstairs at Rockwell's. Very successful, very fun evening.
Oh, fantastic. Well, this upcoming slam sounds like it's going to be pretty exciting, too.
We're looking forward to it. The slams that we put on during the year all culminate in a grand slam in October. And so what we do at the slams prior to October is go through the process of finding the number one, number two finishers and then invite them to the grand slam where all the slam winners and top-level performers will compete against each other.
So it's not just an open mic. It's a bit of a competition as well.
Yeah, it is. This event will be a competitive event. Our open mics are not. Our open mics, we work with Jacob Picard as our house band, and people can perform in any manner that they'd like, poetry, juggling, stand-up, improv, whatever you want to do.
Truly open mic.
Yeah, definitely that. But this event is more structured. There is no music. Each competitor should bring three of their own works, be prepared for all three rounds of the event. So
great. Could you say a little bit more about the format of the event?
Sure. We have sign-ups starting at 6:30. We'll have a sign-up sheet there. We're hoping to get eight competitors. The way it works is we'll have the sign-up sheets open. We're looking for eight. We'll also be selecting judges out of the audience, people who are attentive listeners and are just willing to be consistent and good and listen well to the competitors.
So anybody who attends could end up being selected as a judge?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and it's something where we hope you want to do that, but we definitely need five people or five teams of judges to make the event work. So we have three rounds. We have the first round where we have eight poets. They get up and they do their 3 minutes. The judges provide scores after every competitor. We take the top four scores. Those people advance to the next round. We do another round. The top two performers go to the final round, and then the one who has the highest score of the final two people will be your winner for the event. So that's how it works.
Is this the first time this event or a poetry slam or an open mic has been held at Gonzo's?
No, we've worked with Gonzo's. I want to say this is the third time.
Okay.
Very intimate venue.
Yes.
Anybody who's been there. Good food, good coffee, all those good things.
Yeah.
But it's very close room, so you're right there, right with the poets, which I think works really well, honestly. It's a very supportive group, very intimate, actually.
Do you expect anyone to channel or pay tribute to Gonzo's namesake?
You know, that hasn't happened, but that's an interesting idea. See what they would do with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I just thought about that when I was preparing for this interview.
We have had some over-the-top performances. I don't know if they quite approached what Hunter Thompson has done in his life, in his previous life. But we've had people of all ages, of all abilities. We've had young people, 6, 7, 8 years old, get up and compete at events. We've had people who are, more toward their 60s or 70s, kind of a retired group. We've had all kinds of poetry. We've had, you can get some angsty poetry sometimes. You can get really emotional poetry. You can get revolutionary poetry. It's whatever people want to share. There's no guide. There's no theme. It's whatever you want to share, whatever you feel comfortable getting up in front of a group to perform.
Are there any performances that you are hoping to see, any performers that you're hoping will come out, or anybody that you're looking forward to seeing that you know is going to be on the on the sign-up list?
Not really. I mean, there are so many good writers in this community, and the family of the Wishkanadei performers and people who come to the events. It's a pretty regular crowd, although we're trying to broaden the demographic a little bit. But no, anybody who's been to an event knows what to expect, and you will hear a lot of the familiar voices who've been in the family for a long time. Like I said, we've been doing this for 7 years, pretty well established at this point. So I'd love to hear new voices. Always excited about new voices.
Yeah, definitely. And what about yourself? Will you be doing will you be reading anything or performing anything?
At this point, I may be co-hosting. I'm not quite sure. One of our co-hosts has to go out of town. So we're still trying to figure that out, but there will be two co-hosts, and I'm guessing at this point I might be one of them.
And what is the co-host role?
You'll introduce the group. You'll be on stage and introducing the poets, facilitating the event, collecting judges, explaining how the event works to people who haven't been there before, just getting up in front of people. We may do a little bit of performing just as an example. I'll let the judges warm up and judge us just so they can calibrate their own minds. So,
apart from folks you may handpick from the audience, will there be any judges that are like formally selected to participate?
Not really. We go in with an open slate, basically. What we try to do to facilitate the event is to get the judges selected early. So when people show up, while the co-hosts are getting their performances and their game together, we may have someone go out into the audience and just see who's interested in being a judge. And it's a great way to participate. Whether or not we give you the scorecards to judge, you're still judging. We still want your feedback. If something really gets to you, we want to hear it. If the poet really moves you, we really want to hear it. We want this to be a collective effort. That's why we do this.
The whole thing sounds like it's going to be a very unique experience. Intimate venue, audience participation, and just a lot of interaction all around. But one important question, what is the food situation going to be?
Well, Gonzo's is pretty good.
Will they be serving?
They will
the event?
I know they'll have cookies and coffee available. I don't know if they're going to have the kitchen open or not.
Okay.
I haven't had a chance to talk with the venue about that particular thing.
Because this is after their normal work hours.
Right,
isn't
they normally close at 4 o'clock. So they'll be open, they open right around 6:30 when we have the sign-up sheet out. Event will start at 7, typically runs till about 9 o'clock. I would advise people to try and get there a little early because there is road construction out there right now, plenty of parking, but if you want to get in, get a good seat and get a cup of coffee, you might want to get there early.
And for those who don't know, Gonzo's is sort of out by Auk Harbor and by the University of Alaska Southeast.
Yeah, it's directly across from Auk Bay. It's right next to Chan's Thai Restaurant, downstairs from Devil's Hideaway.
Right. So it's out the road just a little bit.
And, about 11 mile, yeah.
Yeah, past the valley. And the road construction is sort of in between. It's after the roundabout, right?
It's on the town side of the roundabout.
On the town side of the roundabout.
If you come back loop.
Good way to say it.
You can come back loop and you're fine, but it may take you a little bit longer. And the construction may die down by then. I'm not quite sure what hours CECON is working out there when they're doing their work. But
probably depends on the weather.
Very much so. I would think so. I would definitely think so.
And then another logistical question. Parking, where can people park when they go out there?
Well, you can park behind Chan's. There's a parking lot there. I think CECON is using the old university bookstore parking lot, but there may be places available there. I'm not sure.
What about across the street?
Probably. I've never parked over there. But,
okay.
But there's not much else going on other than the restaurant, and Chan's being open and the restaurants upstairs being open. So, and they're all very busy and popular. So, again, maybe get there early so you can get a good spot.
Yeah, or at least, you know, figure out the parking situation, right, and get through the construction. Well, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for all this information. And so, again, the details, it's Friday. That's the 21st. It's at Gonzo. And sign up starts at 6:30. Show starts at 7.
Right.
And where's the best place to get information about the event?
Well, we have our posters up. We don't usually print color posters, but we went with color posters this month.
I know. It's beautiful.
Isn't it lovely?
Yeah, it's so creative.
One of our board members, Dee Durego, you may know Dee Durego. He designed it, and we just felt it warranted to be in color. It's just really a special poster. We really like it. So we have posters up in all the normal places. People can go to our Facebook page. If you just type in Woosh, W-O-O-S-H, we come right to the top. You can go to junopoetryslam@gmail.com. You can find us there. You can reach out to me or any of the other board members. We'd love to help you out and get you there.
Thank you. So if you're just joining us, we're talking to Bill Merck about the Poetry Slam. It's this Friday. Don't miss out. Anything else you'd like to say?
One other event that we have going on in August, just to put it in people's minds, we're going to have a writing workshop. And what we're doing is we're renting a house on North Douglas. So it's going to be an overnight, August 26th and 27th.
Oh, man. That sounds cool.
It should be fun. I don't know what the pricing schedule is going to be yet. We're still trying to put the numbers together. But that might be an opportunity, if you like what you hear tomorrow night, Friday night, to come out and join in the fun. Come out and write. We're going to have a few of us are going to be teaching classes out there. So it should be fun. Really looking forward to it.
Cool. So that's about a month away. Maybe you can come back and talk to us about it again.
Yeah, once we get through Friday, we'll start getting more information out about this one. Just want to drop that a little bit because there will be reservations that are going to be required, and it may fill up. I don't know how many spaces we're going to have available, but that's coming in August.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for being here today, Bill.
Thank you so much. Very, very much appreciate it.
Life. is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 19th of July, 2017. It was on this day, 1954, J.R.R. Tolkien published The Lord of the Rings, Part One, The Fellowship of the Ring, a sequel to The Hobbit, which was published 17 years before, the story of Bilbo Baggins, who goes through Middle-earth, comes back with a magical ring. It took Tolkien 17 years because he was a professor at Oxford. He had to write in his spare time, usually at night. He wasn't sure what the story should be. And then World War II broke out, and he started to see the book as an allegory, but still he wanted to get the details right, the geography, the language, the mythology of Middle-earth. He typed the final copy himself, sitting on a bed in his attic, typewriter on his lap, tapping it out, two-fingered, a half million words long. First edition, 3,500 copies. Today, more than 150 million copies have been sold. It's one of the best-selling books of all time. It was on this date in 1799, French soldiers in Napoleon's army discovered the Rosetta Stone in a port town on Egypt's Mediterranean coast. It was a slab of rock about 4 feet high, 2.5 feet wide, 11 inches thick, weighed about 1,700 pounds. There was writing on the stone in three different scripts, ancient Greek, Demotic, and Egyptian hieroglyphics. Three texts that they discovered said the same thing. Scholars could understand the ancient Greek, and so from that they were able to figure out the hieroglyphs, which had been a dead language for 2,000 years. The stone has now been in the British Museum for more than 200 years. It was on this day, 1898, the novelist Émile Zola fled from France in the wake of the Dreyfus Affair. Captain Alfred Dreyfus, French artillery officer and a Jew, had been court-martialed and sent to prison, and the French military had suppressed evidence of his innocence. Zola, famous French writer then and now, had written a letter to a newspaper accusing the military of that very thing, which caused a great political uproar. And Zola fled to England lest he be imprisoned for libel. But the outcome was that Dreyfus was released and was exonerated. It's the birthday of the painter Edgar Degas, born in Paris, 1834, best known for his paintings of ballet dancers. And then after he lost his eyesight, his bronze sculptures of ballerinas and racehorses. Degas, who remained a bachelor his entire life, he said, "There is love and there is work, and we only have one heart." And it's the anniversary of the first women's rights conference in history, Seneca Falls, New York, 1848, Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Lucretia Mott, at which they put forward the impossible idea that women should have the right to vote. Here's a poem for today by William Butler Yeats, Brown Penny. I whispered, "I am too young," and then, "I am old enough." Wherefore I threw a penny to find out if I might love. Go and love, go and love, young man, if the lady be young and fair. Aye, penny, brown penny, brown penny, I am looped in the loops of her hair. O, love is the crooked thing, there is nobody wise enough to find out all that is in it, for he would be thinking of love till the stars had run away and the shadows eaten the moon. Oh, penny, brown penny, brown penny, one cannot begin it too soon. A poem by William Butler Yeats, Brown Penny. That's the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can subscribe to the Poetry Magazine podcast and the Poetry Off the Shelf podcast in the iTunes Store or listen at poetryfoundation.org. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
In the last Alaska, the economy is changing.
We are not generating enough revenue to pay our daily bills.
The energy industry is changing, and so is the landscape.
You know, you appreciate things as they become diminished in your life, right? I mean, you look at them differently when they are disappearing.
Alaska's Energy Desk is following those changes from the state capital to the North Slope to the Kenai and in Alaska. Follow us on your local public radio station.
You're tuned into a Juno Afternoon. It's about 18 minutes to the top of the hour. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and with me are my next guests, Marjorie Minzy and Rosemary Hagevig. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yes, you're very welcome. You're both here as representatives of the PEO. Tell me, what does that stand for?
Well, it's PEO Chapter G is one of three chapters of an international organization here in Juneau. And our primary purpose is to promote educational opportunities for women of all ages, women who are wanting to return to the workforce, younger women who are just heading for college. And so we engage in a number of fundraising activities to raise the money to provide the scholarship so that we can make this a reality in the community. And up until now, we've been very successful doing this. We give one scholarship at UAS, a full scholarship for $2,500, and two $2,000 scholarships to graduating high school students in here in Juneau. And this year in our process, we noticed that there was some interest in vocational opportunities too. So if we're successful in our fundraising efforts, we plan to add an additional scholarship to facilitate people going into vocational work that aren't necessarily headed for a four-year degree program. So, you know, that's kind of another area of interest that we have. In addition to that, the international organization has a number of scholarship opportunities. And so our chapter helps to facilitate that, not only financially, but to sponsor people to participate in those activities. The kinds of things that often for people who are wanting to return to the workforce, older women wanting to go back to school and continue their education and start a new career.
So PEO is the philanthropical educational organization?
Yes, that's correct.
It is a national or international organization?
Yes.
And of course, internationally or all throughout the organization, there is an emphasis on the advancement of women, and mm-hmm. that's what the Juno chapters are doing as well. Mm-hmm. What is how is philanthropy related to the advancement of women, in your opinion?
Well, I think the important thing that we do is to raise the money to make this available to women. I think that's something that individual people can't necessarily do that well for themselves. But an organized group effort that gets behind this provides opportunities for this to happen. And our chapter is one of three in Juneau, and all three of them engage in some kind of fundraising activity in order to do exactly these kinds of things. They may take a little bit different approach than we do, but the basic goal is the same, is providing educational opportunities for women so that they can provide for themselves and their families and, you know, improve their work life and quality of life in general.
I might just add, in regard to the scholarships that we give locally, one of the prime criteria for awarding them is financial need. So hopefully we're providing educational opportunities for people who otherwise would not have them. That is, and these students also tend to be people who have done well academically, have been involved in the community, have been community volunteers, have been involved in their school. So they're all around well-developed students who will do well in post high school and in college mm-hmm. as well.
What a great thing. And mm-hmm. this organization also operates on a statewide level as well as national and international.
That's right. Uh-huh. The statewide organization in Alaska is relatively new. But the international organization has been around since I think the late 1800s.
Yeah, we were talking about that before. Yeah, it's very well established. Yeah, and here in Juneau, there are a lot of members.
Right, there are a lot of members in Juneau.
Surprising number. He's estimated up around 300 members.
Yes, that's correct.
So that's sounds like you guys are pretty solid.
In all three chapters.
In all three chapters, so we talked a little bit about the role in the Juneau community, but that's a good segue into the event that you're here to promote. So please tell the good people all about it.
Okay. Well, we're very excited because this is about the fifth year that we've offered this opportunity working with Allan Marine. We all know that whale watching is a great sport in Juneau. People really enjoy
a sport. I like that.
Really enjoy it. And in summer, many people have guests visiting and they'd like to take them out on the water. So on Thursday, August 3rd, from 6 to 9 o'clock at night, we're going to have a whale watching cruise, $75 per person, which is amazing for because it also includes a three-course dinner made by the women of our organization, who are all wonderful cooks. And in the past, every year when we've had this, we've had an incredible show of whales, bubble feeding, bald eagles, seals, sea lions, the humpback whales, of course. So it's an amazing three-hour cruise accompanied by a naturalist on board the ship. So the price includes that delicious homemade dinner, and drinks are available as well on the boat. And binoculars are provided by Allan Marine. In the past, this has been a sold-out event, so we'd like to encourage people to think about getting their tickets early. Let's see, I guess
I'd say, and just another note, too, for those in your listening audience who may not be aware of how comfortable those Allan Marine boats are.
They're extremely comfortable.
They're big catamarans, and you can get into some pretty choppy water sometimes, but in those boats, you just don't feel it.
Right. And there's lots of inside seating and also
lots of outside observation.
We've never had anybody get home, get seasick.
Yeah, it's always.
That's a great point.
It's a comfortable trip. It's one that, and now they leave from the Auk Bay Harbor, and now there's even more parking out there. You don't have to walk a mile
about
apart.
That was my last guest.
Yeah. So it makes it even a more attractive proposition. And it's a great trip to take if you have out of town guests. It's a real good way to get them out on the water and see the kind of wildlife that we all enjoy here every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, $75 for a whale watching tour with dinner is a real steal, and it's probably going to be mostly locals.
Locals and they're out of town guests. Several people bring people who are here visiting.
So. Yeah, that's the kind of whale watching I like to do, and it's bubble net feeding season.
Yes.
So I know that's been. It's been confirmed that it's going on out there and should still be going on through the next few weeks.
It's something I've lived in Southeast Alaska since 1962, and I never get tired of it.
I know.
It's an amazing phenomenon, and we are so lucky to see this on a regular basis here.
We are.
Really love sharing it with people who, especially people who haven't done it before.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we're planning on sun.
Oh, yeah. You guys ordered sun? Oh, that is so
Marjorie
smart.
Is the eternal optimist.
Well, the thing about those tours is you're mentioning the comfort of the boats. It's fine in the rain.
That's true.
Issue. And weather's usually better out there anyway.
Yes.
And those of us who live in Juneau, the rain doesn't stop us from doing anything. Yeah, we don't melt. You're right.
Well, that sounds so exciting. And do you want to speak about specifically where the proceeds go? We talked a little bit about the scholarships that you offer. Is that what what you're raising funds to put towards?
We send in the neighborhood of $3,000 to $4,000 a year for the international scholarships, and then provide the guidance and encouragement and backing for people here to apply for those. But to me, the thing that's closest to my heart, of course, is the scholarship money that we give locally. And it was really interesting this year to run the scholarship process for graduating seniors. And it was phenomenal. We had an unbelievable number of people who were extremely well qualified. I, I would love to be able to offer more. I mean, and that's what the fundraising piece is all about. And the thing that, like I said earlier, the thing that sort of popped out at us this year was we think that there's an interest in women going on to vocational programs as well. So we want to offer that next year as well as our academic scholarships and see where that goes.
I think that's a great idea. Yeah. Yeah.
So I just want to mention how people can get tickets.
Yes, please do.
Two of our members will have the tickets, and I'd like to give the numbers. Barbara Pavitt is at 209-4931, and Joyce Smith is at 780-6676. And I mentioned that it was a three-hour cruise. We are asking people who are coming to be at Stater Harbor at 5:30 p.m. So because there's usually a long lineup of people waiting to get on. The departure is at 6, and then it will return to the dock at 9 o'clock. So if they have any questions, they can ask either of those two people as well.
That just sounds like a wonderful time. I've copied down those numbers,
too. It's a wonderful trip for a very good cause.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
So if anybody didn't get those numbers, I've got them here, too. You can contact KTOO, and we'll help you out.
And I'll mention that they've been sold out in the past. So
I'm not surprised.
The sooner the better.
So that's, again, that's August 3rd. Mm-hmm. That's a Thursday evening, 6 to 9 p.m., departing from Stater Harbor. Come early, come hungry.
Have a good time.
Yes. Anything else you'd like to mention?
No, I think we're looking forward to having other locals join us.
Well, thank you both so much for all that information. I really learned a lot talking to you, and I hope I can make it to the cruise.
Oh, I hope
well,
so
we'd
too.
Love to
thank
have
you.
You.
Absolutely.
And thanks again thank for you. Having us on here
thank
today.
You for the time. It's my pleasure.
Is Bird Note. If it weren't for birds, how many of us would be invited to enjoy nature? Think how seldom we experience animals other than birds. Most of us rarely see wild mammals, with the exception of squirrels and their relatives, and some of the large grazers, such as deer. Reptiles and amphibians are mostly shy and secretive. Like most small mammals, they're active only at night. Except for the larger butterflies and dragonflies, insects and other invertebrates are so small, they're usually beneath our notice. Crickets and katydids do entertain us at night, but invisibly. Birds are all around us, easily seen and enjoyed. When we look into our backyards or drive across country, most of the animals we see are birds. Most are active during the day. During the breeding season, males sing and display, often in flight. Many birds hunt on the wing, and it's a safe bet that you'll see one if you take the time to watch the sky. Birds mark the seasons with their migrations, sometimes in large flocks. In fact, birds are, quite simply, unavoidable. How many fewer nature lovers there would be if it weren't for the more than 10,000 species of birds? Today's show is dedicated to the memory of Gretchen Hull, a great friend to and protector of birds everywhere.
Thank you for tuning in today. Our guests were Jordan Nigro, Bill Merck, Marjorie Minzy, and Rosemary Hagevig. We featured music by MGMT, Foxy Shazam, Nina Cherry, and James Booker. On tomorrow's show, we'll have the UAS Corner with UAS Interim Dean Paula Martin. She'll be talking about arts and sciences curriculums. Jonah Flora from Reach will be here, and we'll get an update on SEAC activities. And Nancy DeCherney will be here with Arts Up. So that's tomorrow, live at 3 on KTOO. Jeff Brown is the producer, and I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. Today's show will be available on demand online at ktoo.org. Until tomorrow, this has been a Juno Afternoon. Have a great Juno evening.